Let's open up in our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. We'll be in verse 10 starting out. We are on Thursday nights doing a harmony of the Gospels. It's kind of where you take the Gospels and shuffle them together. And you take everything in the life of Jesus as it occurs chronologically. So we're going from event to event to event, as nearly as we can put it, in chronological order, wherever in the Gospels that might take us. In Luke chapter 13, we're about 6 months out from the cross. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. He's going down one last time. And as he does, he's going to take some time and, in a very short passage of Scripture, do a very simple thing. He's going to heal someone. As he does, there's going to be just a number of truths that just fall out of this teaching into our laps. That's the way God's Word is, you know. It's so rich. I don't think you could ever possibly exhaust it. You can go over it again and again and learn from it time after time. So it's a short story. It's a simple story. But it's filled with truth. It happens one day on the Sabbath. As he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now, as I promised, a lot of things will fall out. God just said a lot of things while I was studying. So let me just share with you some of the things I came away with. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Where would you find Jesus on the Sabbath? In the synagogue. That says a number of things to me as I stop and think about it. First of all, if the Son of God found it helpful, necessary, beneficial to be in a place of worship on a day set aside for worship, what does that say to us as people? Maybe beneficial, needful, helpful for us as well. When I say that, I know that not everybody is in church on every Sunday. I know that. I know there's a lot of things. I think, though, that it is a place that we should prefer to be. Yes, there is going to be things that are going to take us away. But I think if we find that too many things are taking us away too often, I think that we need to re-examine our priorities. If you went to the synagogue that day, who is one of the people that you would have met? Jesus. He was in the synagogue. And I think you still find him in houses of worship on days set aside for worship today. I think that's because he wants to meet with people. I think he wants to spend time with them. He wants them to get to know him. And so, we would find Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Some people would say that, well, you know, I worship God in my own way, and I don't really need to be in church, and these are usually the people that I find are suffering the most. Now, that's not a slam against anybody, please don't see it that way. But we talk to lots of people in the course of a week, and the ones that come in that are hurting the most are usually the ones who are absent from worship. And it kind of tells me something. It's something I suspect. So I'll put it in that term. It's kind of a suspicion rather than a hard, cold fact. It tells me that even though people may say they're finding God in their own way, the ones who don't show up for worship services and for teachings are typically the ones who are hurting the most. So sometimes I really question whether we're really worshiping and really learning if we're not a part of a body of believers. Paul wrote about these things, and he said that each one has been set in the body. Each one has a gift. Each one has a function. And imagine if you tried to come down to breakfast in the morning and your left foot decided to stay in bed that day. It would be a mess coming down the stairs, wouldn't it? You need all your parts. And I think that one of the things that I come away from looking at this with is that you need all your parts. Your brothers and sisters have things you don't. You need them. But you have things they don't, and they need you. And I think the biggest way we rip ourselves off is to not understand that God is waiting to meet with us. He makes appointments. He sets aside time. And he shows up in houses of worship, specifically to touch people, to teach people, to bless people. So as I read verse 10 starting out, I find that Jesus is where you would always find him on a day set aside for worship. He was in the synagogue. And that day in the synagogue, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now, just as we could say some things about Jesus, I think there's some things we could say about this woman. First, I'm going to say that I strongly suspect that she is a believer. It doesn't say that here, but I think before we're finished, we'll look and we'll say, yeah, she's probably a believer. Another thing you could say about her is that she had a problem, a physical problem. She was suffering with a spirit of infirmity and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Do you remember in the past several weeks, we've talked about different kinds of problems that people experience. We've talked about the authority that was given to the apostles, and they had authority over demons and over diseases, remember? And that tells us that physical ailments can have one of two sources. There can be a pathological process going on, some kind of physical anomaly, some kind of infection, some kind of a disease state. But also that many times the things that we see, we would describe as, for example, the young man who used to throw himself in the fire, foam at the mouth, we might have said epilepsy. But Jesus clearly identified it as demonic possession. So when it comes to illnesses, it seems like there are two sources, physical sources and spiritual sources. Now, here we have a woman who's bent over, and we're clearly told that she has a spirit of infirmity. Now, I say that she's a believer, but she has a spirit of infirmity. So let's be clear on a couple of things. I have found no evidence in God's word whatsoever that a Christian could ever be demon-possessed. When you walk into a dark room and turn on the light, what happens to the dark? Gone. Where'd it go? It's just gone. And when the light of the world comes into your life, what happens to the darkness in the human heart? It's gone. What communion hath light with darkness? Rhetorical question, of course, and the answer is absolutely none. So when Jesus Christ comes into a human heart, when someone becomes a believer, it is no longer possible, I am firmly convinced, for you to be demon-possessed. Having said that, Satan can harass the daylights out of you. Satan can come and pester you. He can bother you. He can speak into your ear, whisper all kinds of garbage into your heart. And apparently, he can even cause physical ailments. Can you think of one person in the Bible who was beyond doubt a believer, suffered with physical ailments, and we know the source was Satan? Job is one, isn't he? Here was a man who was upright, righteous before God, and Satan had a field day with him. How about another one? Paul, thorn in the flesh, messenger sent from Satan. So one of the things that we see is that while it's not possible for a Christian to be demon-possessed, it is possible for a Christian to be oppressed and harassed by demons. Here's a woman. She's had a spirit of infirmity. It says she was bent over. The words literally mean bent double. And apparently she had some kind of a spinal condition going on, but it was a spiritual condition. So it doesn't say, you know, stooped. I mean, that wouldn't... You ever see anybody stooped over with age? Not noticeable, not significant, is it? This woman was bent. It says she was bent double. And imagine someone with a physical condition where they're just bent double and they can't raise themselves. And the only way they can talk is to kind of twist off to one side and torque their neck and look up at you. That wasn't comfortable. That was about 30 seconds. How long has she had this? 18 years of this. Now, when people decide not to go to church, they can find all kinds of excuses. And again, this is not a slam on people who, you didn't show up on Sunday, so, oh, he's preaching to me. No. Come on. It's just true that sometimes we get busy and don't go. Sometimes we get in a place where we don't want to go. And that's true too. Sometimes it's, oh, I've got a headache. I think I'll stay home today. Sometimes, at tail end of a flu thing going on, I'm kind of achy and I won't go. Where does she go? She goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Here's a lady who won't be stopped. Now, I think there's a reason why she was there in the synagogue that day. I think that's true, and we're going to come to that. But take a look now. Verse 12. It's the Sabbath day. It's a synagogue. Jesus is there teaching. And this woman comes in who's been bent double for 18 years. Spirit of infirmity. And she walks into the synagogue. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Just two more verses, but a lot of things fall out again. It says that Jesus saw her. Do you suppose the synagogue was crowded? I bet it was. Did you ever go to church and feel invisible? Did you ever attend a service at a church anywhere and it's kind of like nobody came up and said anything to you? Pastor maybe walked right by you on the way out. Did you ever go to church and feel like people just looked right through you? Nobody saw you. Busy synagogue, a lot of people. Jesus is teaching and a woman walks in and he sees her. His eyes go right to her and he makes contact with her. This is the way Jesus is. Sometimes I know we can barely drag ourselves in these doors. Sometimes it's everything we can do to get in the car and come in here and say hello to people. But you know what? Jesus sees you the minute you come in. That doesn't mean he sees you if you're homesick, or doesn't see you if you're homesick. It doesn't mean he doesn't see you if you just didn't feel like going and stayed home. But it does mean that Jesus sees people. And especially he sees people who are looking for him. So in the midst of a busy, crowded synagogue, Jesus busy teaching, people all over the place, in comes this little woman. I don't know how easy she was to see because she's probably not very tall. She could probably hide in the crowd pretty easily. And Jesus sees her. Eyes just go right to her. He calls her to him. You know, we have kind of a policy here of not leaving the service once the service has started, if possible. Not coming in. Once the service has started. Jesus just sees her in the doorway, says, "Come here, right now, come here." And just calls her up to the front of the synagogue. And he says to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." How long had she been bent over? How many doctors do you think you could try in 18 years? Everyone in town. And everyone in the next town, and everyone in the town next to that, this woman has probably been to every specialist, every osteopath, every chiropractor, everybody they had. She's been everywhere. And she hears Jesus call her, and he says to her, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." Lays hands on her, and she stands up straight for the first time. How do you suppose that felt? When things in your body don't work right, is there usually a sensation associated with that malfunction? Pain. If someone has a spinal condition, nerve roots coming out of the spinal column, and they're twisted like this for about 2 decades, how do you think that feels? For the first time in her life, for the first time in 20 years almost, she stands upright. And what happens to the pain? You know when you've been sick, you've been dragging, your body's been down, your spirit's been down, your mind has been down, you've just been down and dragging. You know how it feels on that first day when you feel well again? You feel like two separate gorillas. You're just like, yeah, let's go. Well, here this woman stands up for the first time in 18 years. She's healed. And it says she glorified God. I think that's an understatement, don't you? If you had been bent double for 18 years and you suddenly stood up, what are you going to be doing? Handstands, backflips, cartwheels, and she's just praising God for healing her. Now, isn't that exciting? Wouldn't you be excited? There was somebody there who wasn't excited. You find that person in verse number 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. It's funny. I bet Jesus was excited. I bet the woman was excited. And I bet everybody who saw this was excited. What if somebody came into church in a wheelchair, and I don't know, I just came down and felt God's Spirit moving me, giving me faith to do it, and I said, give me your hand, stand up. And they stood up and kicked their wheelchair aside. I mean, are you excited? Wow! There's one person that wasn't happy. It was the ruler of the synagogue. He wasn't pleased, and he wasn't pleased because somebody broke his rules. They had rules on the Sabbath, and one of the rules was that you couldn't heal anybody. If you had to do something to save their life, you could. But you couldn't heal them. So, you know, somebody... oh, a little agricultural accident, they cut their hand off. Well, you can't do anything really for them. You can bind it up so they don't bleed to death, but you're going to have to wait for Sunday to be healed. We can't really work with you. We'll just kind of stop the flow of blood for now, okay? So he sees his rules bent, and he stands up, and please notice what he does. He does not talk to Jesus. I don't think he had the nerve to say this to Jesus. And he doesn't say it to the woman, because it's way too late. She already got her healing. But he turns around to the crowd, and it's almost, you can almost see him keeping the crowd from Jesus. And as he faces the crowd, he answers them. And he says, there are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. Isn't that like religion? Religion has rules. And when you run into rules, they tend to be one size fits all. This is the rule, and you'll measure up to it, or you won't come in here. That's kind of sad because, I don't know, you know, clothing. Do you ever buy clothing off the internet? Do you ever buy something you couldn't try on? How does that work? I don't understand how people sell clothes on the internet. I buy something, I want to try it on. One size doesn't fit all, does it? And when you make rules and try to squeeze people into rules, you often find that one size does not fit all. So at least one person there that day was not excited about the healing. It was the guy who was in charge of the religion. And he was very upset. And so he got between the people and God. The leader of the religion got between the people and God and said, stop, don't anybody else come. 6 days, not today, come another day. Well, the Lord had the floor, and he answered him and said, hypocrites. Now, one of the things I love about Jesus is he's so tactful. He's so careful and so politically correct. Hypocrites! You know, and the word, too, is kind of an interesting word in Greek. It's hypokritos. You can promptly forget that. Just know we get hypocrite from it. And it was a word that was used of actors. We have today in the drama world those two faces. You know, you see them, one is smiling and one is not smiling. And those represent drama. And in those days, they didn't have special effects. They didn't even have regular effects. They didn't have any effects. And so if an actor played a part, there was no makeup or anything, they would simply hold a mask meant to represent the character in front of their face on a stick. And so those two faces came to stand for drama. And if you're talking about an actor, you would use the word hypocrite. If you were to translate this very literally, I have a translation upstairs by Kenneth Wiest of the Greek. And it's kind of an expanded translation. It's kind of like a Living Bible type thing where they expand on the word and bring all the meanings in. And for the word in English here that is hypocrites, Kenneth Wiest wrote this: actors on the stage of life playing the role of that which you are not. Wow, that's diplomatic, isn't it? And he basically says to this guy, you're pretending to be this great religious leader who ought to be leading the people to God, and when God shows up, you get in their way and stop them. You're pretending to be that which you are not. You're not leading the people to God. You're keeping the people from God. But he's just getting started. Hypocrites! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? So Jesus makes a very good point with this guy. He says, on the Sabbath, you don't work, and you say we shouldn't work. And yet, on the Sabbath, you will loose your ox, you will loose your donkey, and you will walk him to water. And you do work on the Sabbath, because your beast needs to drink. Well, he says, think about this, guys. What do you think is more important in the eyes of God? That a beast gets a drink? And that's important to God too, isn't it? Or that a woman who has had a spirit of infirmity, who Satan has bound for 18 years, that she be loosed? Who cares if it's the Sabbath? And this is why I think she was a believer. It says here, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Now, I don't believe he was using the phrase daughter of Abraham to mean she was Jewish. Because where were they? They're in a synagogue. The place is packed with Jews. So he's not saying, ought not this woman, being a Jew. They were all Jews, by and large. But by calling her a daughter of Abraham, he was saying, what was it that Abraham had that was accounted to him for righteousness? Faith. And that's what it means to be a daughter or a son of Abraham. It means to come to God by faith. By faith in his word. By faith in his provision. By faith in his Messiah. By faith in Jesus Christ. And so this woman had come to the synagogue. And you know what? Let's be fair. Maybe there were days when the pain was too much and she just didn't go to church, okay? Can we believe that that might be true? Yeah. But she came to church that day. She went to the synagogue. And I believe it's because she knew Jesus was in town. And she said, if only. Well, I guess I'm within reach of the hem of his garment. But if only I can get to Jesus, something can be done about my problem. And so she no sooner walks in the door than Jesus sees her and says, you, come up here, right now, come here, come here. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmities. And with a smile, I believe, and with joy, Jesus watched as she stood up for the first time. And the place went crazy. Everyone was excited except for one guy. One guy who happened to be more into religion than God. More into rules than meeting the needs of people. And so Jesus turned and looked at him and said, you're pretending to be that which you are not. You claim to be a man of God, and you're just a man of religion. You claim to be a leader of the people, but you won't let them come to me. You claim to be concerned for my flock and my sheep, but when they have needs, you keep them from coming to me. And I am here this morning deliberately to meet a need. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't meant to be some kind of institution that we all had to bow down before and worship the day and be bound by the day and be bound by rules. It was a day given to us so that we would not be the knuckleheads we usually are and work 7 days a week. It was a day given to us so that we could rest and so that we could trust in God and focus on God and take some time for Him. Work day doesn't often allow that much, does it? The Sabbath was given to us so that we could spend some time with Jesus. And Jesus wanted to spend some time with this lady. And so he says, I didn't make you for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for you. And by the way, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I own the day, so I get to say what it is. When he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. What a great day in the synagogue, don't you think? There was the ruler of the synagogue. Hold it. 6 days, not today. And then he hears Jesus speak and says, well, I thought I was being religious. But everybody else in the house went crazy. The people loved it because here was the Messiah who had come to meet with mankind, and he wouldn't let anything get between him and the people. He'd come for the people had come to him, and now this was their day. And when Jesus touched her life, she was changed forever. Couple of things to take away from this. First of all, man's needs always supersede man's traditions. The Sabbath, what was it? What was God's instructions concerning the day? Remember it. Keep it holy. Pretty simple, huh? But there are a lot of observances that go with a traditional Sabbath celebration. Lots and lots of observances, and you won't find one of them in the Bible. We add a lot to what God has done, don't we? Man's needs always supersede man's traditions. That's the way God sees it. He'd much rather meet your needs than have you keep some rule and miss out on what he has for you. Here's the other thing. Man's needs just say it simply. God wants to meet your needs. God sees you. God knows you. He has come here tonight to meet with you. And I know that some of you are here and some of you are hurting financially because it's just what's going on now. I know that there may be some of you here tonight who are hurting emotionally because something has happened between you and another person, or something has been said to you that's wounded you. And I know that you've come in here with needs, and Jesus has made a special appointment to meet with you tonight. He loves his flock, and he loves to meet the needs of his flock. The rules were only kind of meant to be sort of a guide to bring you in, to keep you from going astray. The rules were never meant to bind you or put you in bondage. It was kind of to funnel you, to direct you, to get you toward God. That's what the rules were for. And when the rules keep you from God, then the rules are wrong and the rules need to go. Because God wants to meet with people. He saw you when you came in tonight. And he calls you to himself. Whatever your need is, whatever's going on in your heart, and you need God to do something, and boy, do you need it. And God is here to meet with you tonight. So without saying anything else, let me call the worship team up, and maybe there's an appropriate song. And I'm going to invite you now during the final worship song just to let Jesus call you to himself and let him touch you and take something in your life that is crooked and bent and doesn't work and to let him make you straight. When we finish with the song, we'll give glory to God.